जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जरा वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जरा वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, शोदानंद व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंद व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, कुंज बिहारी गोपी శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి కలియుగ పావన హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్రకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా వృందావన చంద్రకి శ్రీ శ్రీ జగన్నాథ్ బలదేవ్ సుభద్రా మహారాణికి శ్రీ శ్రీ గౌర్నితాయికి శ్రీనివాస్ బాలాజీకి సమావేత భక్త వృందకి నితాయ గౌర ప్రేమ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షుఃవున్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగూరూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం స అవధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమశ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ ద థర్డ్ సెషన్ ఆఫ్ షేకీ టు స్టడీ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్. ఐ వాస్ ప్లానింగ్ టు డూ ఇట్ ఇన్ 3 సెషన్స్, యాక్చువల్లీ ఇట్ విల్ టేక్ 5 సెషన్స్ టోటలీ. సో యాజ్ యూ ఆల్ నో, ఇన్ ద ఫస్ట్ సెషన్ వి డివోటెడ్ టైమ్ టు అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ద స్లో అండ్ గ్రాడ్యువల్ స్టెప్ బై స్టెప్ వర్ణాశ్రమ ప్రాసెస్. Of process means cleansing process in spiritual life, to go from sakama karma to nishkama karma to jnana yoga to ashtanga yoga. So we devote a time in understanding how the cleansing of ahankar, mamakar and all happens, and then how one comes to be reinstated in one's original identity as Krishna servant. So one class we devoted for that. Then the second class we devoted for understanding why did Srila Prabhupada emphasize the one lifetime to return back to Godhead approach. return back to Godhead in this very life. Don't go through the slow varnashrama process of many lifetimes. So Prabhupada emphasized that there is no need of demigod worship, there is no need of gradual progress. Chant 16 rounds, follow religious principles, do missionary activities, dedicate your whole life to Krishna, you know, and then go back home, back to Godhead. Why did Prabhupada do that? That we discussed in second. Today we are going to the third one. Beginning the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti up to unsteady Bhajana Kriya. Yeah. So, someone can read it, please.
Unsteady devotional service means anarthas. A prominent symptom of unsteady devotional service is the presence of unwanted habits, anarthas, which continue to linger like ghosts in the hearts of even those with pure faith.
Yeah, we may have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. We may like devotional service. But we will see that these two side by side keep going on. We may be executing devotional activities on one hand like a devotee, but like a ghost-haunted person sometimes speaks foolishly, you know, and he is not normal, he is abnormal. Pishachi paila yata mati chinna hai. Like that Prabhupada used to quote that often. Similarly, even as practicing devotees, sometimes we become very wildly angry. Sometimes one falls prey to lusty activities. Sometimes one suddenly is absconding and getting into a greedy mood of accumulating a lot of wealth and getting into a popularity game. So, it has been seen that even a practicing devotee with tilak and kattimala and appearing to be a sincere devotee suddenly shows certain ghost-like tendencies which may come in the life of a devotee. And the reason for that is the anarthas or unwanted habits. Yeah.
Yes. Devotees serious about purifying the heart cannot afford not to deal with unwanted habits. They must root them out. To do so effectively, however, they need to know how to identify anarthas, how to recognize their effects, and how to monitor their presence through the stages of pure devotional service in practice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Amnaya Sutra, the Thakur describes four types of anarthas. Yeah. Offense.
So there are four types of anarthas. One is called, there is a verse which says, Maya mugdasya jivasya ngeyo anarthas chaturvidaha hriddaurbalyam cha aparado asatrishna tatpa vibramaha. So he's saying hriddaurbalyam, weakness of heart. Aparado, offenses, asatrishna, strong material desires. Asat means temporary, trishna means thirst for temporary things that are other than Krishna, material thirst. And tattva vibrama means bewilderment about the truth. So these are the four anarthas, is very clearly delineated. So he makes life easy for us. Because many times if you don't know where is the culprit, you don't know whom to attack, and like many times police have a difficulty, especially while dealing with terrorists. Because sometimes terrorists wear police dress. In Bombay, one time in Hotel Taj, when terrorists were hiding and shooting people and keeping some Westerners on hostage and all that. So, they were going in a Skoda vehicle, but they were wearing police dress. Who? Terrorists. So it appeared that they were policemen, but later on the police found out they are not police. They are actually terrorists. But why did they wear police dress? Because so that they will not be caught. So therefore, anarthas, if somebody can help us put a torch light and show these are the anarthas in your heart, and if you focus on removing them, then you can experience Shuddha Bhakti without any interference. Thanks to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, based on all the scriptures, the beauty of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Chaitanya Shikshamritam or Bhajana Rahasya, Amnaya Sutra, or even the Dashamula Siksha, all these things and Jaiva Dharma, they give many times point-wise, very precisely. But it is not that he is giving something on his own. He has extracted them from the scriptures only, but to put it in a point-wise fashion, so it becomes easy for the sadhakas to know what is to be done and apply them. So, and then for each of this, four anathas he gives, four, like you see here.
Second, types and divisions of anathas and results. There are four types of offenses. Offenses to the holy name, to the Lord's deity form, to devotees, and to other living entities.
Yeah, the offenses to the deity form are called the Seva Aparad. Then there's Nama Aparad, Vaishnava Aparad, and Jana Aparad. So one should avoid these offenses if one wants to advance in devotional life. So this is about the offenses. Yeah.
Material desire is also of four types. Desire for material objects, for heavenly comforts, for mystic powers, and for liberation.
So we can say bhukti, mukti, siddhi. Those three are earthly and heavenly, or bhukti, and mystic power is siddhi, and liberation is mukti. So bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale, ashanta, we know. That is actually the material desire, asat, trishna. Yeah.
Likewise, weakness of heart has four subdivisions. Envy, the desire for fame, deceitfulness or fault-finding, and attachment to objects unrelated to Krishna.
This is one of the most difficult thing to handle. Most devotees, they will have experience. Weakness of heart. Even Lord Krishna chastised Arjuna. Kshudram, hridaya dorbalyam, tyaktva tishta parantapa. Give up your petty weakness of heart, Arjuna, and arise and awake to your duty. Krishna told him. So what was the hridaya dorbalyam Arjuna experienced? Material attachment. He was having material attachment to the bodies of his relatives and friends. And that is attachment to objects unrelated to Krishna. The last one, in the fourth one, attachment to objects not directly related to Krishna. That means the material objects. He was facing that difficulty. Similarly, you will find Indra is a devotee. And he has done 100 sacrifices, due to which he is called a Shatakratu. And then he is given the post of Indra in heaven. Now, he does his duty to Lord Vishnu very well, aligned with the Brahminical principles, everything goes on peacefully. But if somebody crosses 99 yajnas to come to 100, that he cannot tolerate because he has attachment to fame. I have that flag that I have done 100 yajnas. If anybody else will do 100, then my fame will not be unique. So that is his weakness of heart. And that desire for fame caused insecurity for Indra. So, this is one of the reasons why grown-up devotees, if they don't empower the younger devotees to grow, then they will downsize them or cut them. They will make sure they nip it in the bud so that the younger ones don't grow equal to them or better than them. So, that type of desire for fame actually chokes our movement and does not allow our movement to expand. So, Prabhupada, you know, empower the devotees to go everywhere and expand the movement. So one has to actually increase Krishna's fame rather than desire one's own fame. Similarly, the envy is another weakness of heart. Envy actually diverts our attention from Krishna to competing with other living entities around us. So instead of upward focus, we come to our level, horizontal level focus on other living entities. We make comparisons, we make criticisms, we make superiority complex, inferiority complex, and feeling agitated or disturbed due to someone else progressing. So this kind of envy, Diti was feeling envy for Aditi's children, Kaikeyi was feeling envy for Kaushalya. So in this way, this is also another weakness of heart. Now, why we call it weakness of heart? When this kind of virus enters our heart, just like a termite entering into a beam, it completely makes the beam hollow and the beam collapses. Beam breaks and the whole building will collapse. Similarly, our spiritual life is thoroughly spoiled by these viruses. When envy enters the heart, a devotee loses the charm, the cheerfulness, the charm and the simplicity, innocence, you know, joy in spiritual life. One becomes very morose. Similarly, one can be envious of authority. Yesterday, we heard in Bhagavatam, you know, Brahma is telling Prayavrata, don't be envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can become envious of him? Even if you become envious, it's like spitting on the sky. You know, the Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur tells a story. The man was walking in the street and he saw the big clouds in the sky rumbling, du-du-du-du-du, that they were doing. And the man said, hey, don't be very proud. I know you are very big, but that doesn't mean you can make noise like this. Shut up, he said. And then he walked some distance. Again, clouds as usual, you know, they are about to pour now. Like that they were making sounds. Now he really lost his cool because he felt the clouds are too big, I am very small, and if I don't show my greatness, then the clouds will prove themselves to be greater. So he looked at the sky and thoo, like that he spat. So when he spat, it went up and then came and landed on his cheeks only. So envying authority, envying Lord Krishna, our guru is like that only. We become a laughing stock by that. So what Brahma meant to Priyavrata, that if you envy the order of the Supreme Lord, you will attract disgrace to yourself. Actually, Lord knows what is best. Like that he said. So, in this way, that is another weakness of heart. And deceitfulness is the worst thing. Cheating propensity. It's called deceitfulness. Why people cheat? Because they have their agenda to be fulfilled. So, they say that I want money for Krishna's service and they will use it in Maya's service. It's called duplicity. This is actually lack of integrity. Therefore, I told you, amongst all the four, this is a very deadly thing, the Hridaya Dorbalyam. In this way, this envy, desire for fame, cheating propensity, and fault finding, and attachment to objects unrelated to Krishna. All these things can jeopardize our progress in spiritual life. So in weakness of heart, actually an envy and desire for fame go together. Because when you have desire for fame, you feel envious of others. Therefore, that is categorized in one. And then deceitfulness is actually cheating, propensity. And fault finding, criticizing, blaspheming, those things are come in one category. And then read further.
And the misunderstanding of spiritual knowledge is of four kinds. Misunderstanding.
Yeah, Svatattva Vibhrama, Paratattva Vibhrama, Sadhana Sadhya Vibhrama. So, Svatattva means not having clear understanding of the soul's identity and not understanding about Krishna. Like some people, like for example, Jnani understands Aham Brahma Asmi, but he doesn't understand Supreme Lord because he misunderstands Jiva and God to be one. So he has a Vibhrama. But one should know what are the characteristics of the Jiva, what are the characteristics of the Supreme Lord. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches very nicely. Therefore, by studying the scripture under the guidance of a superior, it becomes very easy to have clear understanding. And also, misunderstanding about process of devotion is within Sahajyaism. Some people do Sahajyaism. Some people don't know the need for Guru in devotional service. And some people don't know on which aspects of devotional service to give emphasis. Early morning, somebody may get up, instead of chanting, they may be doing some other devotional activity. There are many places people singing, you know, Shad Goswami Ashtakam and Brahma Samhita and you know, all such elaborate prayers in the morning hours, 2-3 hours, Gajendra Moksha prayers. Everything. You ask them, what about chanting? Chanting, I'll chant in the evening, they say. They don't know the priority. So, you may be bewildered about even practice of process of devotional service. And then misunderstanding related to subjects unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Like one may not know the danger of Mayavada. One may not know the danger of Sahajyaism. One may not know the danger of getting deviated by social service. So, therefore, one should not get bewildered by other activities that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Yes, Prabhu, go ahead.
The Abhavanathas give birth to six enemies.
Lust, anger, greed, delusion, pride and envy, kama, krodha, madra, moha, matsarya. And also six whips, we call it, or six waves or six whips. Shoka, moha, akshat, pipasa, jara, mrityu. Hunger, thirst, old age, death, and lamentation and illusion. So these are all the children produced by these four anarthas. That means, you know, they bring enormous suffering. Kama, krodha, madra, moha, matsarya. And all the shoka, moha, 6 plus 6, 12 sufferings are brought about by this four divisions of anarthas. So in this just one slide, you are getting Bhaktivinoda Thakur's complete map, blueprint of what are my anarthas in my heart and what results do they produce. Everything is there. Yeah.
Third, performing offenseless Naam Sankirtan drives away all anarthas.
That is the good news for us. Apanna samstitim ghoran yannami vyasho grinan tatasadyo vimucheta yadu bibheti swayam bhayam. Read the translation, Prabhu.
Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified.
Yes. So unconscious chanting spoken about in this verse is offenseless chanting, like what Ajamila chanted offenselessly. He had no plans when he was calling out Narayana's name. Gajendra called out offenselessly, or Draupadi called offenselessly. Helplessly, offenselessly, without any duplicity, Uttara called out Lord's name offenselessly and helplessly. So, if we can, Nirapradh Bhavana, with that we can chant the Nama Sankirtan. They have a habit of, this kind of Nama Sankirtan has a habit of driving away the anarthas. So therefore it is worthy for us to pay attention to learning about the holy name and how to chant it well, because the secret of driving away anarthas from our heart lies in offenseless chanting of the holy name. There are many, many verses which say this. Paditas kalito bhagnas sandashtastapta ahataha harihi iti avashenaha puman narhati yatanaha. A person who is falling from the rooftop, or he is slipping and falling on the road, or he broke his bones, is bitten by a serpent, he got high fever and he died, or he died in an accident. In all these unwanted situations, you know, if he is chanting hari, and he left the body, and he will not go to hell, he says. And avashenaha, helplessly he has to call. Helplessly if he says, oh hari, like that he chants. So, like one place I was reading in the book distribution past times, you know, there are many people who come to the airport, even people from different Christians, Muslims, others also come. So our devotees go and show the book. When two, three devotees show from different places, and they get very fed up and say, haram, they say. They say, that's all we want, thank you. You know, because you have chanted the name of Ram. Even you may not buy the book, but you have chanted the name of the Lord. You get the benefit, you have begun devotional service. They are very happy. So in this way, he says that the offenseless Nama Sankirtan drives away all the anarthas. Yes, Prabhu.
Gradual nullification of anarthas.
Yeah, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur explains in the Madhuri Kadambini that the anarthas, it's not that today I have this much anarthas, I chanted offenselessly, immediately it went away. It doesn't go like that. It is a gradual process. Ekadeshavartani, Bahudeshavartani, Prayiki, Atyantiki, Purna. There are five stages. So Ekadeshavartani means, he says that out of the six anarthas which you said, Kama, Krodha, Madhura, Moha, Matsarya, one anartha seems to be gone now. You don't see that anymore. For example, Dhruva Maharaj came with material desire to the forest. Now suddenly he found, what happened to my desire for the kingdom? Lord is giving me Dhruvaloka, but I don't want it. That means the lust for the kingdom vanished. That is Ekadeshavartini. It's gone. But the hatred for the yakshas later on showed that anartha was still not fully gone. But it was gone by the mercy of Swayambhava Manu and by Kubera's advice, and Dhruva took their advice. So you may see that sometimes even devotees who are exalted, Prabhupada says, Dhruva Maharaj is a Kanishta Adhikari who came to the forest when he was coming. But he didn't remain Kanishtha. After chanting the whole name, his heart became purified. And in the purified heart, the lust vanished. In this way, one of the anarthas seems to be now dead or inactive. And we can see that. Some years ago, this was actually lurking in my mind, disturbing me. Now some years have passed. Now I see that it is disturbing, but not so much. It is much less disturbance. After some years you will find, oh, that component is gone completely. Like that. So people ask, where is Krishna's reciprocation? And this is one of the reciprocation. When you chant the holy name, you see that things you were attracted to before, now you are not attracted anymore, gradually. It's getting purified. And then second he says, when many of the unwanted habits are nullified, then Bahudesha Vartani. Almost every anartha is finished. All the six seem to be gone. And you are very cheerful, very happy, you feel relieved. Just like imagine I am sitting here. If my hands are tied with ropes, you know, in different places and I am tied. When I move like this, you know, then these ropes will not allow me. If I move like this, they will not allow. So, by making a little movement, I can know that I am actually bound. Similarly, the lust, anger, pride, greed comes, pops up in the surface. We all can see that. Suddenly become angry, suddenly become lusty, suddenly become greedy, envious, proud. And when they come, we look very ugly at that time. And those things come in interaction with others when we interact with the material world. So then we come to know that these anarthas are there in the heart. Therefore, they are coming out. If they are not inside, how will they come out? They are coming out. But then, as he says here, gradually you find these anarthas will be, you know, tadara jastamo bhava kamaloba adiyaschaye cheta etair anaviddam sthitam sattve prasidati. You become situated very cheerfully in sattva and rajoguna tamoguna is gone. Then one feels like you can see, imagine on a hot sunny day you are running on a tar road and the tar is melting and you are barefoot and some of the tar is sticking to your feet also. It's raining. Your foot impressions are coming on the tar road. You are looking for a shelter and you find a huge banyan tree. When you go there, under the tree and nearby there is a Ganga flowing, you jump into the Ganga, how you will feel? You know, no more hot sun. Similarly, we had many anarthas and then gradually when anarthas are gone, you feel relief. You feel thankfulness, klesha, agni, and then shubhada, when those things happen. Auspiciousness comes in our life. In this way, and when anarthas are destroyed, then purna. When every anartha is gone with no chance of their coming back, that is called atyantiki. Like that he says. And then he also says, in which stage which anartha will go? For example, you know, the aparadhas, they only go in prema stage. They go up to the prema stage. And if you see the other ones like, you know, tattva vibrama, asatrishna, you know, we had some of those anarthas. Some of them go in ruchi stage, some of them go in asakti stage. Mostly by asakti, these four anarthas we are talking, except the aparadhas, most of them are over. Some of them go in nishta only. Some of them go away, like bhakti yuta goes away in nishta only. There is a sukrutota, dushkrutota, aparadhota, bhakti yuta. There are four. Bhakti yuta goes very fast. 1 minute he wakes up. Then even dushkrutota, sukrutota also go very fast. Aparadhota is the one which goes till prema stage. They all get cleansed at different stages.
Fifth, development of prema proportionate to purification of false ego. Since the nullification of unwanted habits and the purification of the sense of I and mine are both directly proportionate to the rise of the mode of goodness, it follows that the above analysis also applies to the purification of the false ego, similar to the purification that happens in Varnashram practice from Sakam to Nishkam to Jnana and Yoga paths.
Although as devotees, we are all not going through Sakam, Nishkam, Jnana and Yoga paths step by step in many lifetimes. What you may do in say a million lifetimes, right now Bhakti path does it for you in one lifetime only. How? By surrendering to a bona fide guru in Guru Parampara, following that one stroke method. And you are not independently doing anything, you know. Like if you see the Varnashrama path, a businessman tells his wife that maybe that Swamiji, we can go and, you know, do some godan and come. our business will expand. So he will do Godan and come back, and then other times he will be doing what he wants to do. His business, his family, his field, his expansion. I am the karta. Karta ahamiti manyate. Similarly, then after some lifetimes, you know, he gets the body of a brahmana, and then he may do yajna. He may do the Vedic part, go to Patachala, memorize the mantras, repeat the mantras, he may do all that. Then he makes some more purification. It's a very gradual process. It goes like that. You give ahankar, you give, then gradually give mamakar, working for God. Gradually. And then even when you become a jnani, you know, I am not the body, I am the soul. Understanding of God is very meager. Even if one accepts Krishna also, he doesn't have a very clear idea of Krishna. He thinks I am servant of God, but the God is not a very clear phenomenon. When one comes to the yoga level, then the Paramatma in the heart is awakened. So all this, it takes many, many lifetimes, bahunam janma namante. But if one becomes a devotee, we also undergo, like we can see sometimes in our devotee also we find some sakama fellows. Then we will see that we have a very strong desire for, I want my food, my prasad, my, I like this item, I like that item, and somebody is still suffering from lust and anger and greed. So, selfish enjoyment propensity is there in the early stage of devotional service. But when you are a little bit more purified, then nishkama. Then we want to work for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna and everything. And then some of the devotees can actually be stuck on a jnana platform where they theoretically study the scriptures without much practical application. Some of them get yoga platform, we saw that also. They are interested in their own sadhana, their own attainment of Krishna, and they are not very much interested in others. But in this way we go through all this, even in the devotional path, and then we ultimately come to the point of becoming proper devotee who is eager to serve Hari Guru Vaishnavas. So that's the point you mentioned here, yeah. And ahankar, mamakar will gradually be dissolved. That means proportionate to dissolving of the ahankar, false ego. So the Srimad Bhagavatam study, it is said Bhagavatam can destroy your subtle body completely and render the soul freely. You will have grass body and you will have soul, that's all. And there will be no subtle body. We heard this when we were studying in the Vidyapitam. One of the preachers was telling about this. You really? I am soul present and I will have the material body with which I do the activities. But what about subtle body? No. Actually the soul becomes so much absorbed in rendering service to Krishna. Subtle body means you have independent desires. For which you need subtle body. When subtle body is dissolved, jarayatyashi akosham nigirina manalo yata, Bhagavatam says, Kapila says, the subtle body is burnt to ashes. It's not there for a devotee. He only has soul and the gross body with which he is functioning, which is just for the sake of functioning, is functioning now. At the time of death, he will leave the gross body and go back to Godhead. So in this way, the subtle body, saying the subtle body doesn't exist means it exists, but it is of no consequence. For example, if you pinch this table, you know, I will not feel pain. If you pinch me, I feel pain because I identify with my body. But when we don't identify with the subtle body, it exists, but it doesn't affect us. We have no independent desires in the mind. We have no independent anarthas for executing like that. So Bhakti Yoga has the study of Bhagavatam has the power to do that. May I read the next one?
Since the development of prema is proportionate to the purification of the false ego, the analysis also indirectly applies to the development of love of God.
As our anarthas get nullified, we become more and more liberated and free to give our consciousness, our time, our energy in Krishna service peacefully, and then we can progress in bhakti very nicely. Which means these anarthas actually are tying us down. They are actually pinning us down in this. Well, they don't allow us to grow. And now you will see in the future slides, then we will actually develop a real fear for anarthas and we may want to modify our lifestyle.
6. Association with devotees who are more advanced and self-realized, transcendentally situated, in whose hearts pure devotion resides, offer experience of ecstasy even for a neophyte devotee.
Okay, now I will also tell you about what a neophyte devotee is. Here, according to Prabhupada and Siddha Bhakti Chintamani book also, Neophyte devotee means up to the stage of initiation. And after initiation, one is counted as somebody more committed and one who is really working on anatta nivritti. Now, is that really true? Because there are some people who are initiated and even after initiation, they are looking for many allowances, they are looking for many leniences, and many actually feel that if I have got a guru, you know, I got a new name and I got a Diksha Guru, and then they may be sort of living the same type of life what they were living before. So I have not put those things here in this slides. But Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani Maharaj takes our time to explain 5-6 pages on this. He says that a person is called as a neophyte devotee because of the earlier type of lifestyle. But now if he is taking initiation, he says initiation is a very serious commitment. He says, actually from the day of initiation, a person feels, you know, my old life is finished, you know, my material life is finished now. And he feels that now I have got a guru, he is Krishna's representative who has come in my life. And whatever he says only I will do. I will control my senses, I will control my mind, and I will lead the pure life, I will follow the four related principles, I will chant the 16 rounds and I will render service. And for him, attaining Krishna becomes the only goal of life. Then he is no more neophyte then. From the neophyte stage, he is promoted to the higher stage, where he is now able to look at his anarthas and cleanse the anarthas. He is able to do that. That kind of ability will come. So he says that, maybe some of it, I will bring it in the next class. He says those who are gurus, who are giving initiation, he says that those gurus who don't actually and train their disciples whom they are initiating, even they are punishable, he says in the book. So you will be shocked or surprised to know, he says that. So it's like a contract between Krishna and the Guru, that I am bringing these disciples to you and handing them over to you, Krishna. And I assure that they will follow everything. So he says that initiation is not a cheap thing. Guru and disciple should watch each other for a certain period of time. And the guru is convinced that this fellow will follow the norms, then only he should give him initiation. And also one more thing he says, it's the duty of the guru to guide the disciples and after they are initiated on how to progress further, so that they can, so he says the initiation marks the bhajana kriya. Prabhupada also says in several places. So when one comes to, that means pre-bhajana kriya stage is neophyte, we call it. The bhajana kriya stage is the initiation stage. Then after bhajana kriya, Bhajana Kriya is actually Anishtita Japa happens. So then after Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti has to happen. If proper procedure is followed, Anartha Nivritti will be faster. Then one comes to Nishtita Bhajana Kriya, which is called Nishtha stage, which is what is the goal of all this five parts seminar I am giving. We will come to the fifth one will be on study. But before we come to study, these things have to be understood. Read further, Prabhu.
The first major step for faithful devotees on the path of pure devotion.
Faithful neophytes.
Neophyte. Sorry. The first major step for faithful neophytes on the path of pure devotional service is to attain the company of pure devotees, Sadhu Sangha. The spiritual masters who introduce devotees to Krishna consciousness, Vartama Padraksha Gurus, encourage beginners to associate with more advanced Vaishnavas. And in such company, neophytes naturally come in contact with self-realized souls.
Yeah, so here is an important point here. The Vartama Padraksha Gurus are those who meet the people. Generally, the gurus may say, please meet that particular devotee. You know, get in touch with him. That means for getting in touch with him means, whenever you come to temple, he will give you prasad, he will give you some accommodation, he will give a pat on the back, he will encourage you, he will give you some services and everything. But when it comes to advancement of the devotee, he says that, with advancement, with more advanced Vaishnavas, then the neophytes can naturally come in contact with self-realized souls. Read further, one more.
Transcendentally situated devotees are sources of divine inspiration for spiritual fledglings. In the hearts of advanced devotees resides pure devotion, which is a blend of the spiritual Haladini and Samvit potencies. In the physical presence of Mahabhagavats, faithful neophytes, free from envy, absorb this devotional energy and at once feel ecstasy. Thus blessed with pure devotion, neophytes are eager to chant and serve in like-minded company.
Yeah, for example, Maharajas, Sannyasis and all, they are transcendentally situated devotees and they are a source of great divine inspiration for the spiritual fledgling. Fledgling means the neophyte devotees. Neophyte devotees is way below and great souls are way above. In their heart resides pure devotion and spiritual ladini and samvit. Samvit means they have great wisdom. And ladini means they are ecstatic. So they have lot of knowledge and lot of stock of bliss, which they liberally distribute by chanting, dancing, doing Harinam Sankirtan, preaching. And they are carefree. You can see with your eyes how carefree they are. They are not dependent on any material arrangement. They are not dependent on any material commodities. They are not dependent on any material situation. They are completely carefree. Actually, we should become fascinated by such exalted people. When a neophyte is surprised, seeing such devotees with Radhini and Samvit, two things. Which is called Swarup Shakti. Swarup Shakti has these two components, Radhini and Samvit. Radhini is the bliss, Samvit is the wisdom. So they are floating in wisdom and bliss. When the neophytes meet them, then even a neophyte can feel ecstasy, he says. So now here comes a very important point. Sometimes preachers can become crooked in making certain decisions. That when sannyasi is coming and giving a program, sometimes preachers wonder, should our young youths attend these programs? New youths, they cannot understand. The sannyasi will speak very high. So let us keep the boys away from them. It's a very great danger. By doing this, you are depriving that soul of very advanced association, which he can directly get. We are becoming an opaque stumbling block of not letting the mercy of the great soul to flow to that neophyte, which is actually great violence. So therefore, like one example, I'll tell you, His Holiness Prabodhanand Saraswati Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Vaishnava Ashray Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Prem Maharaj, when they come here, we have experienced how they have touched our hearts. Isn't it? Similarly, gurus also, sannyasis and gurus and all, when they come. So, one of the things that we should learn from this slide is that we should never fear that advanced association will disturb the faith of very young neophytes. In fact, many people used to fear that Prabhupada may say something strongly if we take a newcomer to Prabhupada. But oftentimes it was seen when Prabhupada spoke some strong things that became the remarkable turning point in the life of many people, like Ford also. Our Ambarish Prabhu, Prabhupada, as soon as he saw him first time, devotees were shocked. Prabhupada asked him, "Where is Henry Ford?" And Prabhupada asked him. And he said, "Prabhupada shook my proprietorship foundation. And then I decided that day I will surrender to the spiritual master." So, therefore, because they are carefree, they are very advanced, they are experiencing the bliss and wisdom. One should not fear introducing new people to them. Here he says, so we are generally Vartma Parishad gurus when we are in connection with some boys, and we have to allow them to associate with transcendentally situated, more advanced, self-realized, those people whose hearts are filled with pure devotion. People who are, these are all the people who are capable of awarding spiritual priceless gifts to the neophyte devotees. And our duty is what? We are postman. We should make the connection happen. Okay, you are a neophyte devotee. Here are advanced devotee. Come, associate with them. And this is what precisely I have been doing in Pune. Sitting here in Pune last 25 years, my goal was to bring very wonderful devotees who are sincere, serious. Like you see, His Grace Sankarshindas Adhikari Prabhu, when he comes here, how beautifully he speaks, so purely, following in footsteps of Prabhupada. You know, some people may say, I don't want to mention any name, but some other people are saying, oh, he is too straightforward. He speaks, you know, no sex and this and that, so strictly he speaks everything. Yeah, you are afraid to hear because you don't want to follow. If you come and hear the such lectures of advanced souls, and he is living, somebody asked him personally, I was there, he said, "Prabhu, I only have fear to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning because some devotees say my health may get spoiled, you see. You know, we have to take care of the body also," they are saying. They are saying that 5 years, 10 years you will do, but after that your body may give some sickness. And Prabhuji smiled brilliantly and said, "I am following this 50 years and look at my body, am I sick?" And he asked it. So that fellow became dumbfounded. Because we have examples in ISKCON now, Vijay Prabhu, L.A., Los Angeles, he is distributing books, you know,
He is distributing 40 years, practically 30, 40 years, more than that. So there are people who are, he says Vaisheshika Prabhu, he is a direct Prabhupada disciple, he personally goes to distribute. So you can see that these people are able to, you know, go on with service and on with very high standards. We have to see them with our eyes, because many times our mind is very offensive and we are very expert in finding faults and why Krishna consciousness is difficult and it cannot be done. Prabhuji, this problem, that problem, this is not there, that is not there. But when you see these people, you will say, "Arey, look at them, look at you. They are floating in bliss and floating in so much wisdom. And they don't need anything material." So therefore, association with such advanced devotees is a very essential factor for a neophyte devotee to uplift, get a very quick promotion. Yeah. So this is a clue for all of you in Pune also. Who come to very advanced devotees who come to Pune? Haladhar Maharaj. He comes once in a year. So like that, there are very wonderful devotees are coming here to Pune. You know, Mahatma devotees are visiting regularly to Pune. Go and meet them, ask questions to them. Whatever difficulties you are facing in spiritual life, express yourself and ask them how to cross the stumbling blocks in our spiritual life. So they can give us clues, and those clues can become turning points for us to advance. Here is a secret revealed in this slide.
7. Why the devotees who were once joyfully tasting Krishna consciousness turn again to material life?
Yeah.
Less fortunate are the beginners who lack the association of advanced devotees, or whose envy prevents them from taking advantage of such company when they have it.
Yeah. See, sometimes very advanced devotees may joke about materialistic lifestyle. They sometimes, in their classes, Krishnananda Prabhu, you can see sometimes he laughs at material life. One time I was sitting in a class and Krishnananda Prabhu was telling, "You may have B.Tech, M.Tech, but you are simply a donkey." He said, "My Lord." I was sitting in the front row when I saw he also included M.Tech. And by the way, who am I? I am M.Tech from IIT. He says, both B.Tech and M.Tech are only donkeys. And then Krishnananda Prabhu said, "I am not saying it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that." He said, "My Lord, that is too much. Acharya has also called me a donkey." I thought, and then he was quoting that song also. What is that song? Maya Vaibhav, it makes a gada out of you, Correct, no? Yeah. So he sang that song also, Vaishnava song, Vidyara Vilase Katayana Kala, He sang that song. After the class, my face had become very small, And then Krishanpu was in a very happy mood. So he was meeting all the devotees and embracing them, patting them, and when he saw me, he patted me, still I didn't smile, And Krishnananda Prabhu asked, "What happened? You look a little morose. What happened?" "Prabhuji, I think you are unhappy with my M.Tech. You told M.Tech people are donkey. I felt I have a donkey head or something." No. I am not telling about you. You are a devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling about those who are not devotees. Simply they are proud of their mundane education." So, then after that I blossomed. Okay. At least I am very confident now. He is the one who told donkey. Now he is agreeing I am not. But at the same time, one thing went deep in the heart. This modern education is simply making a fool out of you. They are wasting so much of your human energy and human time in simply getting a paper degree. And with that degree, it will not go with you after death. And this degree makes you simply proud and boastful. And you think, "I know everything," although we know nothing. And when you read Prabhupada's books, you understand so much vast ocean of knowledge is available. So it helped me to understand how material life is so, material knowledge is simply futile. So therefore, sometimes our envy for senior may prevent us from going close to them. "Hey, he told something about something which I don't like." Or sometimes we hear some new thing that he says, which we have not heard, which is actually true, which we don't know to be true. Then we go around telling everybody, "See, this person so said this, how can he say that? I have never heard it from a spiritual master. I think he is exaggerating." So we become envious and we blaspheme, we find fault and we fall down. That's what he is saying. Either we may lack association of advanced devotees, or when we get that association, advanced devotees have certain characteristics They are very straightforward. They will speak very purely. They will speak straight from the Shastra. And they have nobody to fear. And if you are going to fear their association, we are going to be envious of them, then we can't associate with them. Go ahead.
Hearing and chanting in the company of intermediate devotees.
Intermediate devotees, Madhyamadhikaris. And the first line talks about Uttamadhikaris. Yeah.
May dissipate doubts and awaken a mood of service to Krishna. But the concepts of I and mine, which rule the hearts of narrow-minded persons, obstruct the neophyte's spiritual progress.
Yeah, see, what Uttamadhikari can do for us, what Madhyamadhikari can do, is very clearly demarcated here. A Madhyamadhikari, you can go to him with your skeptical, scientific mindset. They can clear up your doubts. They may inspire you to come to temple and take up some service. They may tell you that, Prabhu, if you do some service, your heart will be cleansed. Please, can you do this seva, that seva? Because Madhyamadhikaris have a lot of activities to do. So, they may share a part of their activities with you. So, two things you get from Madhyamadhikari. Head is cleared and hands have service. Both you get. Doubts are dissipated and you have active service to do. So, you can actually, by this what happens, you like service. Because youngsters like to do activities. You may come to temple and do the service. And when doubts are cleared, you can walk on the path a little more smoothly, which is very good. But the ahankar remains. Therefore, it is a dambam mahadupasaya. Once you are associated with Uttamadhikari devotee, to remove that false pride, we can't remove it by our own. We cannot remove it by the instruction of a Madhyamadhikari devotee. He says that we need advanced association. So, we should give all our people, whoever is in our custody, we should give them association of very advanced sannyasis and gurus, you know, who have been practicing for 30, 40, 50 years. And they have completely become free from upadhis, material upadhis. And they are, roaming on the surface of the globe, carefree, completely carrying Krishna in their hearts. So, only then ahankar, mamakar, we also have to associate with them. And those who are in our dependents also, we have to put them in touch with them. That way, there's a twin advantage. We also gain advantage. And those who are in our custody, we have done the good justice to them. For example, if myself, Radhesham Das, I cannot elevate somebody to a certain stage. I am myself a neophyte. So, it's very easy. You connect them with those who are very exalted devotees. And I also associate. So, I also grow, they also grow. That's what he's saying. Go ahead.
It is difficult for such neophytes to improve their attitudes toward others. Even
toward senior devotees.
First line, toward others, even toward senior devotees.
Even toward senior devotees. Yeah, correct.
Although beginners befriend some Vaishnavas, their critical mentality makes them offensive toward others. In effect, these offenses either partially or fully obscure the joy the neophyte devotees once felt in Krishna consciousness.
In the beginning stage, they befriend Vaishnavas. There is a reason for that. Because one devotee is bringing halwa, another is bringing sweet rice. You become a darling amongst Vaishnavas in the early stage. Everybody comes running. Hey, that new boy is coming. Hey, that new couple family is coming now. Please give them prasad. Give them rajabhog. Give them mahaprasad. Sit with them. Talk to them. Everybody gives time. Everybody asks about them. Happy birthday. And so many things they do with them. So, people are very happy. They feel, oh, I am floating in bliss when I come to temple. All devotees are so nice. Everybody is a pure devotee in this temple. And that's why he is saying, although the beginners befriend some Vaishnavas, but then eventually what happens as time progresses, when they come, they may not get that type of attention all the while. After some time, then they start finding, this devotee gave me feedback. He told me not to do this. And I did this and then, he was upset with me. Then the critical mentality comes in the front. Then they become offensive. And then when they become offensive, either partially, when they become offenses, then what happens when offenses come? Partially or fully, it obscures the joy of the neophytes. Some neophytes are partially joyful, partially unhappy with some devotees they don't like, some they like. Then they categorize the devotees as friends and enemies. So, I will only go to my friends who appreciate me, encourage me, and those who are finding fault with me, they immediately may take off. That type of fear comes in their heart. Oh, this person told a fault in me. So, I can't go near him. Actually, if somebody is telling fault and then you go more close to him, you have a chance to get cleansed more. But the neophyte mind doesn't work like that. It requires some amount of advancement to know that those are telling faults in me are my well-wishers. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you have a dobi right next to your house, he regularly comes to your home and takes all your clothes and nicely dry washes and dries and folds and gives you, you know, how much thankful you should be. Similarly, if there is a fault finder around you, he keeps coming and giving you feedback, how wonderful it is. But many a times we find we are not that advanced to be able to take the faults. In a neophyte stage, we need a lot of pampering and care. So, therefore, their joy is evaporated.
Yeah.
Without a higher spiritual taste, the minds of young devotees again turn to material life.
So now what happens? They are critical towards devotees. They are committing offenses in their mind or sometimes with the mouth. And they have lost their joy partially or fully. Now going to temple, meeting devotees doesn't make much sense. You know, then he is looking, who is the person who appreciates me? And if they don't find any much, then gradually they become weak in doing devotional activities. Maybe the rounds will reduce, maybe the services will reduce. And the higher taste, paramdrishtva, is gone. Then, in the absence of higher taste, one actually moves towards, gravitates towards lower taste. If this is not there, then I go for material life. This is how, now read the question again, the top.
Why the devotees who were once joyfully tasting Krishna consciousness turn again to material life?
Now we got the answer now, like this. So, therefore what we should do, we should give the neophyte devotees opportunity to associate with Mahatma devotees. And once they also, like there are boys who come and say that, Prabhu, when that Maharaj was doing kirtan, I had tears in my eyes. When they go for yatras, after the yatra they come back and say, my Lord, that evening lecture was so good. That katha on the Goswamis, katha on the holy dham, given by Maharajas. Many of the Maharajas may speak very simple katha, but their katha is coming from their innocent hearts, which is completely pure and transparent. And they actually feel Krishna very strongly. So they may, we have heard His Holiness Gopalakrishna Goswami Maharaj speaking this Madhavendrapuri katha. I have heard a dozen times from him. Whenever he came to Pune, one of the times in a year when he comes, he will speak. But every time you hear it, looks so fresh. It looks the way he narrates it with so much love and so much affection. So, a neophyte devotee should learn to associate with that love residing in the heart of advanced devotees, with that conviction that resides in the heart of advanced devotees. So, that wisdom and bliss carried by the advanced devotees should be captured by the neophyte. Why I am telling you this? Even if they have a problem with intermediate devotees, Madhyamadhikaris, or other devotees in the temple, when they don't come to temple, they will remember that I associated with advanced devotees and that bliss will remind them to come back again. Therefore, because the advanced devotees can actually help them remove these upadis of ahamkar and mamakar. They can get rid of ahamkar and mamakar. Yeah. Which is not very easy to remove. Yeah. Yes.
Neophytes may abandon path of pure devotion due to lack of respect for Vaishnavas and offenses to them. If advanced devotees do not teach beginners about Sambandha Gyan, and if they do not show mercy by encouraging them to seriously practice devotional service, then neophytes will generally abandon the path of pure devotion.
This is a very important thing. When the neophyte devotees are coming into the movement slowly, sometimes we keep pampering them with stress management, time management, you know, goal setting and this kind of seminars. And they come, they eat prasad, they chant, dance and they go away. They don't become solid devotees unless they learn Sambandha Gyan. We have to clearly tell them why you are here, what we are here up to, what we want to give you. Be very honest. And this is one thing we found in Prabhupada's early days. You know, devotees going out in the street, doing Harinam Sankirtan, distributing Prabhupada books. And devotees would preach as if you have to go back to Godhead today only. Tonight we are going back. It will be like that. The way they would preach. All the whole philosophy, they will give in a package in a capsule. See, he says, His Grace Vaisheshika says, you go out in the street, you see the jiva soul. He's looking here and there for enjoyment in NG Road. He's looking in the big shopping malls, can I get some enjoyment? But the beauty of the jiva soul is that he is open for ideas. That's the meaning of tatastha. Tatastha means what? He's open. His mind is open. So if you show your book, somebody showing cinema magazine, he looks at that cinema magazine, looks at the book and he thinks, okay, Let me try both, let me find out which one is good. So he's open in his mindset. Because he's open-minded, he's likely to take your book also. So, see how Vaishishvara is speaking like this, because this is the way Prabhupada trained everybody to see all the jivas, all the wandering people as souls in this world. And then everybody is wandering in this world, and we are in a foreign place. Our real home is the spiritual world. We have turned away from Krishna. We have to go back to him as a goal of life. And the process is very simple. Kevala Ananda Kanda, you know, chant, and then when you feel ecstasy, you dance. When you are tired, you sit down and take prasad and take some rest. Again, chant, dance and feast. And anybody on the street would like to do this. And you tell the people that please come and join our temple and be very happy. This is how the days began in the early days. But now in the name of being sensitive to the new people and not to preach directly, some indirect preaching has come. In the name of bridge preaching, sometimes the bridge goes only halfway. After that, there is a cut. It doesn't lead to the other side only. It's a broken bridge. You know, you don't go to the other side. You go here and see bridge is broken, you go back to your material life again. It's like that. So, we have to make sure that people get sambandhanyan. Sambandhanyan means a tripod. Krishna is at the top. Then there is Maya. Then there is Jiva. Sambandham between Krishna and Jiva is Mamayvamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Jiva Krishna Das. So we are Krishna Das. There is sambandhanyan between Krishna and Jiva. And Krishna and Maya, Mama Maya Duratyaya. And Maya and Jiva, Krishna Bhulya Sayyiji Bhagavan Chakare, Nikatata Maya Tare, Chapatiya Dare. So they should know the sambandha between all the three. So Maya is under control of Krishna. And Maya is punishing me because I have turned away from Krishna. If I become Krishna Das and serve Krishna, then Maya will take off. Then I will be in Krishna's custody. So that jnana should sit in their heads and they should become convinced. So I want to become Krishna's devotee. Read next.
Embracing their own misfortune, such Kanishthadikaris stay aloof from pure Vaishnavas and inevitably concoct some distorted philosophy, like one condoning, making allowances for illicit sex and intoxication in Krishna's service. In the company of equally ill-fated souls, their faith degrades to an impure facsimile, exact copy or replica what it once was.
So what happens when such Kanishtha Adhikaris don't associate with advanced pure Vaishnavas, they keep aloof from them, and the result is what? They will start counseling a woman. A man starts counseling a woman, counseling depressed boys, such kinds of people, and they think that we will bring them to, you know, a higher standard. In the course of doing that, then they are going to degrade their own consciousness by that. Because they find such company happy. Instead of finding company of advanced pure devotees, they go for the company of these kind of people, and then they will be condoning such things like this, intoxication and illicit sex in Krishna's service in the name of doing it. So in this way they may dilute their life in the name of caring for the people, loving people, affectionate to people, delivering people. They may associate with, we have seen in the past, one time they put up some drama, some of the boys. And in the drama we found they had some rock music and all to show that initially a boy coming to a college is into rock music and all these things. And later on the mind becomes purified. But this rock music was going for 4 or 5 minutes in the drama. And this fellow was moving his body, doing break dance. And he was venting out all the passion, you know, which he would otherwise be doing in the college days. Now he has become a devotee, he can't. Now, then later on I told the devotees that people will remember this dance more than holy name, which you gave at the end. So, sometimes we may be posing as a devotee, but we may be just exercising our old anartha still. Similarly, somebody has the inclination for opposite sex. You may wear tilak and kantimala and wear dhoti kurta and be like a devotee, but then in the name of counseling them, helping them, you fall down along with them. So, in this way you find that they may say that we are actually trying to help out, you know, suffering souls. We are delivering them, we are elevating them. It's simply cheating. Therefore, he is saying, this happens, why? Because the Kanishthadikaris are not associating with Uttamadikaris. If they take Uttamadikaris association very seriously, they will be elevated to the platform of wisdom and bliss. Or they take the Uttamadikaris very cheaply. They don't take them very seriously. They think that, I am very technically sound, we know so more information. Actually, Uttamadhikari His conviction, his wisdom, his bliss is unmatchable. Huh? But because of not taking association, these people fall prey to these things. Go ahead.
Why should neophytes, who by definition can neither respect Vaishnavas nor avoid committing offenses to them, should be encouraged to enter the company of superior Vaishnavas at all? Doesn't entering such company jeopardize their meager spiritual assets?
Yeah. So we may have a question. Then if you say that the neophytes are actually finding fault with seniors and everything, better for them to remain away, we may say, correct? No? Because if they come near, Vaishnavas are like fire. If they come near, then they may burn their hands. Better that they remain away, we may say like that. But there are another type of neophyte which is not mentioned here. They have lot of love and affection and respect for Uttamadhikaris only superficially. But they will never take their association. Just like Chitrakedu, when Angiramuni came, he gave an elevated seat for Angiramuni to sit. And he garlanded Angiramuni very nicely. You know, he applied Chandan, everything. He profusely praised him with words. And he sat down below his feet in a crouched posture with folded palms, putting his head down. All that was very wonderful. Only he was determined not to hear any instruction. So this is called as a neophyte devotee, Kanishtha Adhikari. He will have great love for Uttamadhikaris. Only he will not listen to the lecture. Like the people who say, Hari Bol, continue the lecture, and they won't be there in the lecture. You say Hari Bol for the lecture to continue, and you continue with your sense gratification program. So therefore, actually the meaning of respecting great souls means to associate with them, hear them, think about what they said, and see how it applies to my life. Then we are associating. Yeah, did it?
How can a neophyte save himself from falling down? Neophytes fall down when they stay away from devotees, and they risk falling down when they mix with devotees.
If they come near devotees, what is the risk? They offend the devotees and they fall down. If they go far away, they have no association, they associate with Maya and they fall down. So either way they fall down, yeah.
But because they can make no advancement without sadhu sangha, the challenge for neophytes is to stay in superior company.
Go ahead.
Beginners must carefully avoid ingratitude. They must control their rebellious nature, even during periods when doing so is difficult. And they must stay among devotees.
Okay, so two very important clues he is giving. We can tell such a neophyte devotee, Prabhu, be grateful for the association of Uttamadhikaris which you are getting. Be very grateful. Don't be ungrateful. Don't find faults. Don't be critical. Don't blaspheme. Don't be rebellious. If they have given you some instructions, faithfully follow. Even if you can't understand, just follow it, because following it will help you. So in this way, if somebody inspires them, their friends or others, and they avoid ingratitude, they become grateful and they give up rebellion. If they do these two things, then they will be able to stay. Yeah.
With the strength derived from their devotional practices, especially from chanting Hare Krishna, in the company of pure Vaishnavas, neophytes must tolerate the inconvenience they feel from the reactions to their offenses.
If they have committed offenses before, those offenses will again produce hatred, blasphemy, and fault finding, being critical, being comparative. All these things come in them because of the earlier committed offenses. So when these things are coming, what they should do? They should restrain. They should not allow these things to be exercised. Internally it may be boiling like a volcano, but they have to tolerate. The inconvenience will come. And also the inconvenience is also experienced in terms of distaste in devotional service due to past offenses. That is also another reaction to the previous offenses. Now one may ask a question, Prabhuji, if I have a distaste in devotional service, then how I can associate with pure Vaishnavas? So one should know that my current distaste is coming because of my past offenses, but if I persist and associate with pure Vaishnavas, in future I will get taste. Like for example, imagine somebody earned money last 20 years, he didn't save a single penny. Suddenly he realizes that the world is going in a lockdown and everything, I have to save money. Okay, got a new job now you start saving. Your past job you didn't save. you are bankrupt practically. Okay, now you start saving immediately. Don't spend extravagantly. Same way, associate with pure Vaishnavas, wherever you realize that I did mistake, immediately associate with pure Vaishnavas and make a beginning from there. Tolerate the inconvenience of the past, coming from the past, and then go on adding to your Sukriti account now.
If they persevere in time, they will overcome their lower nature and rise to the status of intermediate devotees.
They can come to Madhyama Adhikari stage, which means coming from Kanishtha to Madhyama involves a lot of delicacy, delicate situation. Like, because the neophyte thinks I am the best devotee and he is critical of Uttama Adhikaris sometimes, or Madhyama Adhikaris also. So he is unable to associate. If he goes away, he is gone. If he associates, he finds fault. But he says, by being grateful and by giving up rebellious attitude and by... one example I'll tell you. Say, the Chaitanya Charitamrita characters are all beyond criticism. They are all on transcendental plane. But they show certain pastimes for us to learn lesson. One of them is Jagadananda Pandit. He had a desire to go to Vrindavan. And then Mahaprabhu didn't allow him. He thought that he may commit offenses. It's not good. But then he goes to Sarva Damodar and says, Mahaprabhu is not allowing me to go to Vrindavan. Can you please recommend my name to him? When Sarva Damodar recommends, Mahaprabhu is unable to say no. He tells, okay, call him. So he calls Jagadananda Pandit and he says, see, if you are going to Vrindavan for some time, you should stay under the custody of Sanatana Goswami. Don't stay alone. You will, and also never ever get close to any Vajabhasis, because they are spontaneous lovers of Krishna. You will commit offenses to them. And he told, stay only for 2 or 4 days and come back as soon as possible. So from Mahaprabhu's tone, you can know that Mahaprabhu doesn't want him to go, but he is insistent on going. Then he arrived at an intermediate program. Like that you can understand. But you will see Jagadananda Pandit, no matter how much independent desire he may have, he is a great lover of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he cannot give up his company. That is his good credit. And this is precisely what he is saying here. If somebody is attached to great Vaishnavas, at the same time, they have some lower natures lurking. If they don't give up the company of great Vaishnavas from whom they are deriving inspiration and growth, despite their lower nature, by holding on to that association, they can go from Kanishtha to Madhyam.
9. What is the fate of those unsuccessful neophytes who fall away from the devotional path because of weakness or offense?
They may have material desires in their heart, and due to the material weakness, they may fall away. Or they may commit offenses to devotees and fall away. In case they fell away already, we told don't fall, stay, stay, you said, but they are not staying, they fell away. Then what happens?
Fall downs bring misfortune in the short term.
And that means what will happen? They may go away from devotees. Misfortune means what? They go headlong into material life. They may get some kicks from Maya in terms of facing the material world, inevitabilities of the material world, sufferings of the material world. So now they are not with devotees. They are in the outside world and they are going through the sufferings of Maya. That is a misfortune for them because apparently they have forgotten Krishna. And
fallen devotees both struggle with recurring bad habits.
Now bad habits can very easily pop up. Why? Because there is no association which is encouraging you to advance. So you are away from association. So bad habits come in profuse quantity.
And lose their taste for devotional life. But the long-term effects are auspicious because the devotional service they performed remains an eternal asset.
Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakvota pate tato yadi yatrakva vabhadram abhudamushyakim kovarta apto abhajatam sadharmatah. So this is a promise the Bhagavatam gives. Narada tells this to Vedavyas. Even if a devotee is apakva, he's a neophyte devotee, he fell down, there is no loss because he has performed Hari Bhajan and Lord Hari will never forget. Even if one has done little bit, Swarpam apyasa dharmasya trayate mahato bayat nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gachati. He says that if somebody is a kalyanakrit, auspicious actor, such a person will never face, you know, misfortune in his life. Which means Lord Hari says, mat chitta sarva durgani mat prasadat tarishyasi atat chetva mahankaram nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. So a person who does not follow Hari falls, but if a person is taking shelter of Lord Hari's mercy, he advances. But even if a devotee after performing some devotion service fell, Krishna still has attention on him. It's not that he is out of the jurisdiction of Krishna. No. Krishna still keeps in touch with the devotee. Na vai jano jatu katanchana brajen mukunda sevyan javadanga samsritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatumichen narasagraho janaha. Narada Muni again says. He says that he is a rasagraha jan. One who has tasted the bliss of Krishna consciousness in the company of devotees before, those droplets of honey are still lurking in his mind, and he will cry and lament, alas, I have wasted my life, I have gone away from devotees. Those very same few drops of nectar which he received in devotional life early stage, that will again pull him back into the company of devotees. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyak pavasito hisaha क्षिप्रम भवति धर्मात्मा शश्वत शांतिम निगच्छति कौन्तेय प्रतिजानीहि नमे भक्त प्रणश्यति. My dear Arjun, go and beat drums and declare boldly that my devotee will never perish. Even if my devotee sometimes falls prey to abominable habits, that doesn't mean my devotee is vanquished forever. Because he has done devotional service to me, very quickly he will become remorseful and repentant, and he will turn to me and he will cry, alas, alas, what a sinner I am. Krishna, please relieve me from my sinful life. Pick me up and place me in your lotus feet in devotion service again. And such a repentant heart of a devotee washes away all the sinful reactions. So like this, there are many statements in the Shastras that a devotee may face misfortune in the short term, but in the long term effects are very auspicious. For anyone who has gained some devotional assets in the past, which we all have, so that is our great hope. Like we say, no, pratijna tava govinda name bhakta pranashyati iti samsmritya samsmritya pranan sandharayamyaham. He says, you know, I am laying down my life at your feet, Krishna, because you have made a pratijna, name bhakta pranashyati, in the Bhagavad Gita. That is enough for me. Even though I am weak-hearted, weak-minded, and I have so many offensive mentalities. I am very critical. I have so many anarthas lurking in my heart. But your promise is so beautiful that it is acting like a healing balm for my burnt heart. So, in this way, if a devotee has a firm faith in Krishna, it's only a matter of time he will be brought back. I am hearing a lot of good news these days. I was recently trying to find out what happened to some of those who left their sannyas order and got married or went away from ISKCON. And I was very happy to know they have not gone away, they have come back. His Grace Harikesh Prabhu, who was a very great book distribution acharya in the Russia. Now recently heard that he is very much in touch with all Prabhupada's disciples and coming for the meetings, gatherings and things like that and taking active part. So it's very wonderful. You will see that if somebody has done a lot of devotional service, they may sometimes apparently go away, but they will be brought back by Krishna. Krishna has given assurance, either in the same lifetime or in the next lifetime. But Krishna has his loving glance on them that one should never forget. Second? Rameshwar Prabhu gave an amazing class in Juhu temple, I heard. When he came, all devotees were very appreciative of that, because the deep realizations which he got in Prabhupada's times producing so many books are still, that realization is speaking now also, very powerfully. Yeah, yes, Prabhu.
Persons just beginning to keep company with devotees may take up spiritual life, bhajana kriya, but until they commit themselves to the rules and regulations, they cannot be considered sadhakas, true practitioners. They remain simply believers.
Yeah. See, person just beginning to keep company with devotees, they come up to bhajana kriya, but until they commit themselves to rules and regulations, they cannot be considered sadhakas. That means sadhaka starts from bhajana kriya only. Before bhajana kriya, you cannot use the word sadhaka, because only shraddha and sadhu sangha is happening. No commitment. So not sadhaka. Sadhaka starts from bhajana kriya. So the couple of examples we discuss now, Rameshwar Prabhu or Harikesh Prabhu and all, these were not sadhakas. They were actually very advanced. So what happened in their life can be called as a setback, a temporary setback, we can call it. But here we are talking about neophytes who are in Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha and coming to Bhajana Kriya slowly. We are talking about them here.
Yeah.
10. Importance of the commitment of initiation for executing regulative principles of Krishna consciousness and beginning sadhana bhakti.
Here in this, mainly Prabhupada says, we are talking about that sadhana bhakti begins only after serious commitment, which is at the time of initiation. And I have just given some quotes here. Maharaj says that, you know, Prabhupada said, initiation is the beginning of cleansing of heart, Prabhupada says. And then he says that initiation is the cornerstone of serious practice, he says. Thereafter, one is initiated by the Guru and executes the regulative principles under his orders. That means Prabhupada considered initiation as a very serious business. Read the last line. Still,
neophytes may not be able to strictly follow the rules and regulations, even as they seriously try to practice bhakti yoga and aspire to commit themselves to receiving initiation. But no one is expected to be perfect in the beginning of any endeavor.
That means neophyte can keep endeavoring to come to the point of initiation. Gradually. And then once he is initiated, he is more fixed up devotee. We can call him as fixed up devotee.
11. Two stages of Bhajana Kriya. Unsteady and steady. Bhajana Kriya has two stages. Unsteady, anishtha, and steady.
Anishtita.
And steady, nishtita. As long as the effects of past sense dominate the heart, neophytes' practical devotional practices remain unsteady no matter how hard they try. However, when most of the impurities are removed, novices become steady in service. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the transformation. Shrinvatam sa katha krishna nashta prayeshu badreshu. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2, 17-18 verses. The first line of the first verse refers to unsteady regulative practice. Anishchita bhajana kriya.
Yeah, nashta prayeshu badreshu. Nityam Bhagavat Seva, yeah.
Followed by the cleansing of impurities in the heart. Abhadrani vidunoti. The stage of anartha nivritti. The phrase, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, indicates that although the cleansing is not complete, it is sufficiently complete to inaugurate steady practice.
That's a very deep point. Nashta prayeshu, the word is used, prayaha means almost completely destroyed. So now you go back to that. Ekadesha vartani, bahudesha vartani, prayiki, atyantiki, purna. So, which means those are all gradual cleansing. Prayasha means in that gradual, like the example is given by Chakravarti Thakur. Gramo dagda fato bhagna, he says. Like your cloth is cut, no, cloth is torn. But not that the cloth is fully gone. You can stitch it. In same manner, anantas are slightly removed. Gramo dagda means some portion of the village is burnt, not the whole village. Similarly, some anantas are removed and others are there. Such examples he gives. So, therefore the word prayaha is used. That means if you study Bhagavatam regularly, that destroys our anarthas partially. But then when you chant the holy names inoffensively, then the further cleansing happens. Therefore, these words are used. Go ahead.
Hence, irrevocable service comes into being. Thus, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, purification of unwanted things from the heart follows the stage of unsteady practice. When devotees are relatively free from obstacles, they enter the stage of steady practice, nishtita bhajana kriya. 12. Disciples with superficial understanding of Krishna consciousness cannot rid themselves of unwanted habits.
Yeah.
The process of initiation. The process of initiation begins well before the formal ceremony. Before aspiring disciples make their vows, they must display steadiness in at least the external acts of devotion.
There are two types of steadiness. External steadiness, internal steadiness. External steadiness is rising early in the morning, you know, chanting 16 rounds, following the four related principles, faithful to Guru, and then reading Prabhupada books. And wearing the dress of a devotee, attire of a devotee, putting tilak in 12 places, and then having accepted the Guru. I have seen many of the devotees, foreign devotees, when they accept this kind of vows and all, they pretty seriously they take. I observed that. So those who are, especially the devotees whom I have observed in my contact, I observed that they know that this is a process. Just like you go to a college, you admit yourself in a course. You know, then you have to study for 3 years, 4 years, or whatever period. You have to pay the fee, and you have to go through some laboratory experiments and then classes and everything, and then you get the certificate. Same with Krishna consciousness, they take it very seriously. But sometimes it is seen pious people may take to it, but they consider initiation somewhat like a ticket back to Godhead. They work hard, they study, they take training, everything, and they get the ticket. After first initiation is over, then they become very, you know, cool in spiritual life, and they become toned down. That is not appropriate behavior. Actually, if you are here, you are taking training, initiation. After that, you need to go up further. Not that you, after initiation, you become like a balloon without air. You know, people say, now I got my name, Guru Maharaj has given now. Now I can relax. It's not like that. Go ahead.
For this, the scriptures recommend a testing period of 1 year. During that time, the spiritual master imparts Sambandha Jnana to the prospective disciple and ensures that all aspirants have embraced this knowledge with proper faith. Disciples with a superficial understanding of transcendental knowledge cannot rid themselves of unwanted habits.
That means that your transcendental knowledge has a direct relation, correlation to the habits. That means if transcendental knowledge is awakened, Divyajnana Hriday Prakashito, then what happens? Switching on the lights. Only in a dark room, thief can exist. When the lights are on, it is expected that the thieves will run away. So therefore he says that we have to give sufficient emphasis on giving people transcendental knowledge before we send them for initiation. Yeah.
Thus their spiritual practices remain a semblance of the real thing. In short, without a clear understanding of devotional principles, devotees can neither free themselves from namabhas nor steady themselves in practice. Initiation given to ignorant persons is therefore important. After the initiation ceremony, disciples must accept further training from their spiritual master. This training includes receiving a schedule of services to regulate the wandering mind and senses, as well as further instructions on how to perform devotional service in the ways most pleasing to Krishna.
Now these things are practically a dream. People will not be able to sit with the guru and plan all this, because ours is a very big organization, and they have to do the same with the local, you know, your one's mentors, one's local authorities. One can do these things after initiation, but the point is, initiation is a serious vow. So now, next time when we come, this is what we did now, semblance of devotion. This is part one. I didn't show you this. See, part one, I did this one, Varnashrama thing, as I told you. And then, we did this. And then part two, we did this, from semblance of faith. Because Varnashrama produces semblance of faith. But then, semblance of faith to attaining pure faith, for that entrance into association of pure Vaishnavas, we did this one. This is the revision of part two lecture. We did this. And after that, these are the last few slides, very important slides I did. And then we came to this. Today. So we have done beginning from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti up to unsteady Bhajana Kriya we have done. Now one more class I will devote on. There are two things to talk about. One is about this Vikshepa, Laya and Apratipati, Rasa, Swada and Kashaya. That is one type of thing to be crossed over. Another thing is C.C. Madhya Leela 19.159 talks about Nishidachar Kutinati Jiva Himsana Puja Labha Pratishtari Adi Upashakadigana. So those two things will be one class we have to devote to understand them, because that is what is causing unsteadiness in us. So once we complete that, then that unsteadiness stage is complete, we come to the beginning of steady stage. Then we will devote one last class on how to remain steady in the steady stage. That will be the fifth part. So we will continue that maybe in two more classes I'll complete. Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.